Well, welcome back to Generations. I am one of your regular co-hosts, Peter.
And I am your other regular co-host, Aubrey.
And why do we say regular today? Well, that's because we have a very special guest co-host with us. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, I am Alyssa Jones. I'm Alyssa, the irregular.
I mean, we have plenty of medications in our house to help with the irregularity.
Oh my gosh, we went there right away. Okay. Cool.
I mean, do you not know us? Of course we
I know you well. I know you well. Yeah. I'm so happy to be here. Thanks.
We're happy to have you here. Because this, as listeners would know, Aubrey is our daughter. Would you like to introduce your tie to the two of us?
Okay, so I'm married to Peter.
That is correct.
Aubrey is my offspring. So Aubrey is child number two. So
that would be
yep. Yeah.
So, you know, we're doing a family thing today. And in part, you know, we thought it'd be fun to get Alyssa on. We're going to be talking kind of a bit of a continuation of what we talked about last month. But before we get there, Aubrey, how have you been? Your school is looming, imminent on the horizon.
Yeah, it sure is. School is happening tomorrow from the day that we are recording this podcast. so I'm nervous because I'm taking a lot of classes and they're very hard and I will have four jobs again and it's going to be a lot, but it should be it'll be my most difficult semester, but also the last difficult semester because then I have spring semester should be a breeze and then I graduate, hopefully.
That's pretty fantastic.
Graduating's pretty awesome. Yeah. I just did that.
to be done with this particular undergraduate program. But I'm excited, but I'm nervous. So I've just been kind of prepping the house and myself to be ready for school to hit me like a truck. So,
as it always does.
Yeah. Yes. But how are you, Dad and Mom?
I was going to say, Liz, why don't we kick it to you? How have you been?
Oh, man, I don't know. So I'm having all these feelings because, you know, a year ago, I was getting ready to start my, you know, third semester of my graduate program. And I drove down to Salt Lake and I went to bed and my apartment flooded in the night, and then I had my first day of class. So it was like not a good time.
So let's just hope that our house doesn't flood tonight. Let's break that tradition.
Fine. It's fine. But also, so I'm excited to be home, but I am also really, I wouldn't say FOMO. I'm not afraid of what I'm missing out on with my cohort and the people that I was working with before. But I had like some doctoral students, friends, and some friends in the master program that I'm really missing them. I'm like, oh, they're all going to be there in diction together. They're all going to be in op shop, you know, suffering or having a good time. And I'm going to miss the people. I miss the people for sure. And
you know what they say.
And the learning. I love learning.
People together. Like shared suffering.
Yeah, so true.
And not that it was all suffering, but just something that you can be like, oh, well, that was a weird class. Let's break that down. Yep. So I'm missing that, but I'm excited because I'm going to start teaching at a school in Salt Lake every Thursday. That starts this week. So I'll be teaching a vocal performance class at a charter school in Salt Lake, and I'm in a show, so I have rehearsals for Jekyll and Hyde, and I've got plenty going on, but I'm just going to miss my people.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, for me, I'm out of the three of us, I'm the one with by far the most boring life. I am going to go back to work tomorrow just like I have every other Monday for the last 12 years, and I'm going to go and just do more urology. Because that's how it goes. But, you know, we're gearing up. Gareth starts on Wednesday. We're starting to get back into the thick of it with high school swim, which is a little, what's the word I'll use? I was going to say challenging. I was also thinking of the word vexatious. but mostly just
it's
because
it's a different vibe.
Well, it's not so much that it's the different vibe that I'm referring to. What I'm referring to is it's the inconsistency in terms of the schedule that is placed upon us due to the situation in which we find ourselves in Pocatello. But, you know, shortly, I mean, we've got three teams that are all having to try and work around school schedules and when can they practice at either Ross Park or the rec center. And so it makes it a little tricky, you know.
Once he's
back on the regular kind of city/club team, you know, I mean, it's the same, but there's a little bit of adjusting and working around schedules for the next little bit that requires a fair amount of texting back and forth about carpooling arrangements and how we make that all happen. But other than that, you know, like I say, for me, it's the same old, so. But what we thought we would talk about this month. So last month, Aubrey and I kind of talked about college, some of our favorite classes, some of our least favorite classes, some of the things that we enjoyed. And then we did dip into at the end just a little bit of some of the things in medical school for me. But what we thought would be fun would be to kind of talk more about grad school, what grad school was like for those of us who have gone, and maybe for those who might be contemplating it in the future, what are they looking forward to? So, you know, I know that that's something that, Aubrey, there's certainly grad school is a possibility in the future for you. So, but Alyssa, why don't you kick it off for us? Because you are the most recently graduated of grad school.
Yeah. So what was the question? What is the?
I don't know. Tell us about grad school. What was your grad school experience? Okay. What were some of the things that you liked and some of the things that you found challenging about grad school versus undergrad? And again, listeners, understanding that for Alyssa and I, undergrad was half our lives ago almost.
We don't need to be saying that out loud to people.
No, we embrace it. We accept it.
Listen, anyway. Okay, so yeah. Well, I loved a lot of things about grad school, but the thing that one of the top things that's the very coolest is you are just working on the thing, right? So I had music classes in the music building. I had no classes in any other place at any other time. I went to the University of Utah. It is a gigantic campus, and I went to one building, right? So and you just really get to be a master at your instrument or at your chosen thing. So, and while we appreciate gen eds for what they are and how we want to be well-rounded and all of that stuff, it's really cool to just hone in deeper to like all the aspects of like voice pedagogy and diction and spend time performing and learn music history, but not just one music history class that maybe goes over a year, but like we're delving in deeper and just reading articles and talking about them and all coming with a certain level of education to pick each other's brains about stuff. So that's what I loved about grad school. I need to turn off the notifications on my, please forgive me, people suddenly are texting me.
So, it happens. You know,
I don't know why. I was feeling so lonely and then it's whatever. Okay. So that's what I loved about grad school. I was also really humbling, but.
So I'd be curious to have you go a little deeper into that, because I think that's a way in which my grad school experience and your grad school experience were very, very different.
Right.
For me, there were so many times in medical school where I felt like, to be honest, I was just wasting my time. For example, when I was on internal medicine, all I could think to myself is, I hate this, I hate this, I hate this, and I'm never going to do this. How many times at this point, 12 years in practice and 4 years of residency. So realistically, but how many times in 12 years of being in practice have I calculated an anion gap? Never. Do I remember how to calculate an anion gap? No, I do not. And so, but all this time, you know, I'm like, oh, okay, what's their base deficit and what is their gap? And is this a gap acidosis or is this a non-gap acidosis? Or let's figure out their FEV and all this stuff. And like Yes, and I don't want to sound like I'm bagging on learning, because I'm not. It's good for us to learn. But, like, I remember, and I think, Aubrey, I mentioned this to you last time, like, when I was on internal medicine, like, I would present my patients, and then I would try and figure out, how can I sit in such a way that my head is behind somebody or something else, so that when I fall asleep out of abject boredom, my attending and doesn't fatigue. See. And fatigue, yeah.
And fatigue.
And so, you know, I didn't, like I say, for me, that didn't happen until after, you know, PGY3, my third year of residency. Now, finally, I was a urologist or a urology resident. And that's where then I could say, okay, now everything I'm learning to some degree is germane to what I'm going to do. So again, there was a lot of time in med school where I'm like, I know, I understand why I need to do this, but it still feels like a waste of my time.
For sure. Well, and I think that's the main difference between like medical, the medical journey versus prevalent.
So I guess then I would ask is, did you have any classes or anything that you needed to take where you felt like it wasn't applicable or germane to what you wanted to learn? Or was it really that focused?
It was pretty focused.
That's cool.
And the part of me having FOMO now is hearing my cohort people talk about the like kind of weighing some of the other classes they're taking that I didn't have time to take because like theory pedagogy, like which sounds so nerdy, but yeah, it would be cool to learn how to talk about how to teach music theory to college students and read articles about it and talk about what would be the best way. Like, I'm like, that would be bomb. Then I could like go do that, but I didn't have time. Sure. It didn't fit my schedule. I would say there. I mean, we all have the things that we prefer, right? So, like a theory seminar on a Thursday night from 4:30 to 7:00, when you've already been in class since I don't know 10:00, but nonstop talky talk class. Your brain's not like really, I'm loving every second of this seminar, talking about 18th and 19th century procedures in classical music and breaking down theory. But, and am I going to use that every single day? I mean, I'm not going to like analyze every single piece that I sing, but knowing how to do it is important. I don't know. Maybe I'm just painting a rainbow because I'm not fresh out of it. But I would say, I'm like, well, I did struggle with op shop. Sure. But that was like part professor problem. And like you get 6 hours a week where you're sitting there and you're like, if I hear another person, if we do another thing, masterclass style, where someone just stands up and sings an aria and then they get feedback for a half an hour while we all watch, like, no. No, thank you. I'm done with that.
Sure.
But that has to do with the professor, like structuring the class a little bit differently. Once we're in like, no, we're rehearsing and prepping for the opera that we're doing, then it all makes sense. But I don't know.
Well, Aubrey, what about your thoughts about grad school? Have you thought much about it? Kind of where do you see it potentially fitting in for you?
Well, my decision is kind of like, or my original thought had kind of changed in like the last like week, just because I found out, because I was on a call with my research PI, and he of course is like, he's like, how can I help you? Like, are you applying for jobs? Are you applying for grad school? Like, what do you want to do when you graduate? Like, I'm your personal person for this. Like, I'm gonna get you into whatever you need to get into, basically. And I was like, well, I want to go to grad school eventually, but like financially, I don't know about that. And I kind of want to get some like in industry experience first. Like, I don't know. I kind of just want to explore in like what specific genre of astrophysics that I want to go into, because there's obviously, I mean, space is huge. There's so many things you could go into.
Space is huge.
Yeah, sure is. but he I told mean, me yeah, it is. It's huge. but he told me, he was like, well, financially it shouldn't be a problem because like you'll always get a stipend. And I was like, huh? And he was like, if you go into physics and astronomy, you will always have it paid for. Always. Like, no matter where you go, physics and astronomy, you'll have it paid for. And I was like, I was like stuttering. I was like, are you for real? And he was like, has no one ever told you that? And I was like, no, no, they haven't. Because in my like you know, we have like undergraduate seminar classes where they're like, you know, it's all about, everything is about grad school and industry and, you know, your future and blah, blah, blah. But everyone in that class is just a physics major. It like just physics. So like some of them are doubling math majors. Some of them are doubling business majors. Some of them are doubling in whatever else. And they want to be a professor immediately. And so of course they're going to go straight to grad school. But like, that was never very clear. They weren't like, yeah, you'll have this paid for. They were just like, yeah, sometimes financial things will be an issue. So definitely consider that. And I was like, okay, well, obviously I'm going to consider that. Thank you. And so I just assumed I was going to... What did you say?
I was just going to say, I think between me and Dad, those are the two kinds that you're not going to get it paid for.
Like, no, literally.
You know what I'm saying? But like, I mean, some music people do if you audition and you get scholarship money, but it's just there's less opportunity in the arts, right?
Yeah.
Unless you go to a school that needs you to. But typically a grad person in a science major in particular, you get a stipend because you have a TA ship.
Right.
And then you get paid.
Right. Well, and like I like had the idea of that, but of course I was like, oh, well, I don't know. Mom's tuition was pretty expensive. So I don't think mine's going to be a freebie. And like Hayden has everything paid for and will probably get everything paid for just because of his situation. So I was like, well, I'm not in that same situation. There's no way I'm going to get that paid for. But yeah, he was like, you'll get it paid for whatever. So like you can decide. So, I mean, I want it in the future for sure, but I kind of want to break from school for like at least maybe a couple years. I don't want to go too
That's
long
fair.
Before waiting. Like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I'm kind of like sick of like sitting and paying for tuition and sitting in a class. And I don't know. Just the whole shebang. I'm like, I would like a little break, please. So, and like, I still love learning and everything, but in whatever job I'll be doing, like, I'm sure I'll be learning all the time. I will just be learning new things all the time. So I want to get some just industry or something experience so I can just kind of dip my toes in the water, see what I like and don't like. And then, but I definitely want that to be like the end-ish goal is to get my PhD for sure. Cause in most physics and astronomy programs, you can skip master's and go straight to PhD. Like usually they don't need
nice.
Like yeah,
you just do the whole
yeah
the whole
you just
thing.
Do the whole thing at once. It's not like you have to go like do them separately, or there's very, very few programs where they like require you to have your master's before you get into like before you go into the PhD program or whatever. So that'll be nice because then I can just go right into it. But and I'm excited to get into things that are super specific, like hyper specific, because like again, space is huge. So I'll like, yes, I'm fully in my astrophysics major, but there is so much to learn in that major.
Sure.
Like there is, I mean, like there's a million astrophysical objects that I need to know everything about before I can decide which one to dedicate my life to. Like,
so exciting.
Like there's just
so
much, like even our, like my very first astronomy class, that was like Foundations of Astronomy. She was like, this is like the briefest overview of things because there's just so much. Like there's just so much. And we had an entire class for an entire semester on stars and we barely even like brushed the surface on that. So like there's just so much to learn and I'm excited to get hyper specific on things. Whereas like right now, I mean, again, I haven't even taken the full physics track. Like I still have to take electromagnetism and quantum mechanics or whatever. So I still have things to go through and I still like have a general I have to take next semester and stuff. And so
sure.
I'm not fully in that. But the good thing is that it is a pretty, like the program in my major is niche enough that there's not like a million students in it. So I kind of know, not everybody, but I know a pretty large like percentage of my department, you know, student body or whatever. Like I know who they are and I've taken a couple classes with them, which is kind of nice too. But I'm also excited to make it super hyper specific and I can meet all those people that we are, you know, going into the same thing. We'll see each other in every class and stuff like that. So yeah, I really, really want to go eventually, hopefully only in like a couple years rather than like the 10 I was envisioning.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
That's exciting.
Awesome.
So one question I had for you, Les, tell me what was kind of the size, and I don't know exactly how to put it, of like your program or the group or like, yeah, like how many students were you interacting with on the regular?
Okay. Well, to kind of break it down, my Master of Music in Vocal Performance and Pedagogy was a pretty new degree at the U. So I was the second person, I think, to graduate with that degree. And when I started, there was only one other person. And we're coming off of COVID, so people weren't like, I'm so excited to go to grad school in a vocal in music when we have to do virtual or whatever. So I think people had taken a break. So there was just me and one other person. But then since it's a two-year or more program, we had there were other vocal performance people. So I would say in our master's classes that were voice, it was six people.
Oh, wow.
I think we got to seven. So there were four people that came up underneath us. And then as people graduated, yeah, there's like six. And that was just for voice. When we were in other graduate classes with like DMAs and other like piano performance and pedagogy or conducting or, you know, instrumental conducting or there's a bunch. So it could have been, you know, up to 20 or so. Mm-hmm. And the DMA is funny because, you know, it's like 3 years, but I'm not really aware of anyone who could do that in 3 years. Like sometimes they just take more time. But obviously these people are teaching outside of doing things. Like they're doing this in addition to their performing lives.
Sure.
And their, so sometimes it takes them a little bit longer. I think Marilee Wilson had been there. Julie had said, like, she just needs to be done. She has been here for a long time. She's now the Northern Utah president of NATS, the National Association of Teachers of Singing. Like, she can teach musical theater and all this stuff. So, but it's pretty small. So you really, like, when we had our, like, that theory seminar that I was talking about, there was 1, 2, 3, 4. There was six of us.
Hmm.
And that was... I think we had a composition guy in there. We had three voice people. We had a percussion guy. Like, but you really, you get to meet each other in those classes and then that kind of cross over.
Sure.
And then in your performing ensembles, you have more people. But that's when we were mixed with undergrads too. So like Op Shop was like, you know, 20, 30 people.
Hmm.
Choir was like 40, 50.
Right.
So
yeah, and that's interesting because, like I said, one of the reasons I asked is again, like we all know, like different types of grad school are very different. And so for me, I started and there was about 100 of us. And it was that 100 of us all 4 years. And so the first year, all 100 of us were in the big lecture hall for our classes. And then we would split up into labs and there's about 20 people in each lab. So you'd have a smaller group. And then once we started our clinical rotations, it was very different because it depended. You know, when I was on, say, my psychiatry rotation, there was like, I don't know, four or six of us who were out at the same hospital. But we were basically paired up with just one attending or one service. So it was like mostly you or maybe you and one other student. When I was on internal medicine, yeah, there was like 20 of us on IM at the same time, but there were two of us at the VA on this one particular internal medicine service. And so, you know, there were multiple services at the VA, there were multiple services at Duke, there were multiple services at Durham County Hospital. And so, you know, really it was just you and that one other person that you happened to be on rotation with. When I did surgery, I was the only student on peds general surgery for the weeks that I was on it. I was the only student on vascular for the weeks that I was on it. So we would come together for our didactics, but the whole time I'm on service, it was just like, just me. And so, and then of course the third year where you're doing your thesis and writing your paper and all that bull crap, like it's you. And I mean, I was in a lab with, there were two students because there were two attendings. And so it was me and this one other kid in the lab, but we were kind of doing our separate stuff. And again, so you're mostly just kind of alone and by yourself.
Pretty isolated.
So yeah. It's weird because it's like a big group. There's 100 of us in class, in this class together, but you're at most regularly interacting with one or two other people at a time once we finish that first big book year. And so it was, like I say, it was a weird experience, and it led to, and part of this is me, but it led to, like, I didn't ever really get to feel that close to very many of my colleagues because just you just weren't around them very much. And, okay. You know, you're on a rotation for 4 to 8 weeks. And so you'd maybe be with somebody for part of that. But even then, it wasn't like you were on that rotation. You know, my 8 weeks of internal medicine, 4 were at the VA and 4 were at Durham County. So it was like I was with one other student for the first 4 weeks. I was with a different student for the second 4 weeks. So it was a very different experience like that. And I bet that for you, Aubrey, with what you're going into, again, it would be very different from that.
Yeah. I mean, there's like, and even like my sophomore year when I finally like switched over to astrophysics, like officially, I still had, like, there was like, I would, you know, having like the big lecture halls, but I would see the people. I'd be like, oh, I see you in every lecture, like across the hall. I'm like, oh, there you are. And then just like the couple random people, who I just like take a million classes with. But then again, like I still was taking classes up till like literally last semester. It feels like I was taking classes where there's still like engineers in my class, like partial differential equations, like all the engineers are in there. So you got the mechies and the electrical engineers and the chemical engineers and blah, 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 whatever. But now it's like, okay, well, if you're in physics 5, it's because you're a physics major. And if you are in,
takes physics 5 for offenses.
Yeah. And if you're in, you know, intro to cosmology, it's because you're an astrophysics major.
sure.
I'm sure as like once I get to grad school, I mean, I've seen like all my professors, they're like, so I went to grad school for this extremely obscure thing that I use this one machine every single day to throw electrons at this one specific thing every single day. There's probably like 2 of them. Like, there's just so weirdly specific. Yeah. Like, it's just so weirdly specific. So I'm sure it'll be some things that are in bigger groups, but also, you know, also the like one or two other people that are in my niche or whatever.
Yeah.
So I have a question for Peter
or
you too, Aubrey. Do you find in academia that like professors, they have like a genealogy of who they've studied with, and that's a big deal? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I guess with musicologists and that's musicologists and can't think of the other word, music therapist.
It's okay. You could make one up and we wouldn't know.
Yeah, fine. Like, you'd be like, oh, this person, this person studied in grad school with this person who is actually like the forefront of research on this very specific subject. Like, do you have that sort of connection? Do you find that people throw names around if they've been published or not? Like, oh, I study with so-and-so.
I mean, I do.
Or is it just this crazy fine arts?
I do all the time, because there's like, I mean, people will throw names. I mean, like, even like one of my professors just found out some crazy discovery that he just got published for like a month ago, maybe. And he was he's just like this cute little guy with curly black hair, just really excited about black holes and dwarf galaxies and hooray. But he like published this crazy finding where we actually found, like, so I'll explain this really quick just because I think it's super cool. Like, we know like stellar mass black holes that come from when stars die. Those are only like a couple hundred solar masses or something. They're like, it's like not that much. That's not that big for a black hole. But then there's like the one in the center of our galaxy that is a million solar masses. Those are the supermassive black holes. But then there's in the middle, there's the intermediate black holes that like we've like not found any of. Like, it's like there's no way those exist, that like we just can't find out how. Like, we haven't found any, we haven't found detections from any. But he found one in our galaxy. In our
found the unfindable.
In the Milky Way galaxy.
Whoa.
So there's two black holes in the Milky Way galaxy, which is crazy. But that's the thing is like I'll you know, I say, oh, it, but he's also my PI's best friend. like they're like besties. And then my PI also studied with this woman who is like one of the most published astrophysicists in like the world. And she like gives seminars like across the world and gives talks and every, and he's like, yeah, I like studied with her and one of my best friends married her. I'm like, what?
It's like a small, kind of a small, small world, yeah. Like the more specialized yes. you get. I just have to pause because you keep saying PI and I just think private investigator and I know
principal,
that's what
principal
that
investigator.
Principal investigator. I'm like, what? Your PI?
Very close,
why?
Very close.
I could tell it's a mentor, but yeah. thank you.
Yeah,
for
yeah principal investigator.
Also, the acronyms that people take yeah. on, like... We just acronym everything, yeah. especially in academia.
Yeah, but it feels like everything is kind of connected, at least in my field.
Yeah, and I think that that's the thing you find. You know, I don't remember at all the people who lectured during my first year. Like, I don't remember any of them. I don't remember. I couldn't tell you. I'm sure they'd be more than happy to break out their educational pedigree and, you know, show off and tell you about who they worked with. But I don't know. Once you started to get into actual medicine practice, yeah, that was a big thing. I mean, you know, I'm a Duke for medical school, and there are two main textbooks for general surgery. There's Greenfield's and there's Sabiston's. Well, who was Sabiston? Well, Dave Sabiston was the chair of surgery at Duke for many years.
I remember that name.
And so, yeah. you know, you kind of had your, were you a Sabiston person or were you a Greenfield person?
like the Sharks and the Jets.
It's kind of what it was like. But where I really started to notice that and where it really becomes like the 6 degrees of separation is like super easy to, you can make those yes. connections in far less than 6 degrees is once I got into urology. Because now all of a sudden it's like, I mean, I don't remember who it was off the top of my head because it was many years ago and it was a traumatic experience that I'm sure my brain tried to block out. But, you know, when I went and took my oral boards, I mean, I remember the two people who tested me, like I'm looking at the name and I'm like, oh, yeah, I've read a bunch of things that you published.
Yep.
And then it's like, walk in and you sit down and you're like, hey, recognize your name. Thanks. Hope you don't flunk
me. Ask me some questions. Hope I don't. Yeah.
You know? And so, and that's the thing is it's a small enough specialty that you get out there and then you start talking to people and it's, oh yeah, I know this person and I know this person knows this person. And oh, here, I can put you in contact with so-and-so because, and so in that regard, it becomes very tight knit, but
yeah. Yeah. And kind of networky.
Yeah.
Very networky.
Much so.
Yeah. yeah. I feel
and
the
like,
same way.
You know, you go to the conferences and you're sitting there and somebody, so-and-so's talking and you're like, oh yeah, I know you. I mean, I don't know you, but like.
But I've read a lot of your work.
Exactly. I've yeah. read a lot that you have written. So thanks for that.
Well, it's interesting. In one of my music history courses, I just think this is a funny thing. Because you have to write it in. Like our professor would have us read a lot of stuff. And in the responses to those things, she would say, you may not agree with this author, but be careful with your criticism. Essentially, the syllabus said, be careful with your criticism because I study with her. So,
that's
and
funny.
She's the forefront of blah, blah, blah. And honestly, I think it's because initially, you know, this woman teaches at the University of Utah and, you know, lots of Mormons or whatever. And this Susan McClary is, was kind of the forefront of like feminism in musicology. Like she was one of the first women to be like, get published as a musicologist in this very man-centric world and alluded to a lot of things being overly sexual. And so, I don't know if my professor's like, listen, I'm done with you, uptight Mormon people saying that this woman is morally whatever. I don't know. Like, I mean, but the truth of the matter is that's also what I loved about reading articles is not that you believe it. You're reading it and then you're like, how does this weigh with this other person's opinion? And then you go to class and you talk about it. You're like, well, I think this is a little whack. here are my reasons, blah, blah, blah. Or I can see this other person's point, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's not cut and dried.
Sure.
It's not. It's so it makes it interesting, but also a little frustrating. Yeah. You're like, well, what is the answer? The answer is there's no answer.
Yeah, that would be frustrating.
Yeah, I
the,
feel
the
like...
answer is your answer as well as you can back it up.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It feels like, especially in my realm of like my research specifically. I mean, obviously, research is like, you know, no one has found the answer to the question that I am researching. Obviously, like otherwise I would not be researching it.
Or you wouldn't be researching it. That's yes.
But it's also so niche that like. I can't find, you know, I could look at the entire astrophysics data system online and no one has written anything about what I'm researching. So I'm like, oh, awesome. Mm-hmm. I have no help. But but then, you know, my PI will be like, oh, well, I do know a guy because, you know, obviously I have to know a guy. And this guy also knows a guy who has a grad student who you can talk to and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I've talked to, like, a grad student who, you know, he's, like, kind of, like, the things that he was researching would help in some of my questions for my research. And so then, you know, I talked to him and he's already, you know, published a couple papers and he's actively, he, like, sends me his draft of the one that he's writing right then. Because he's like, nice. Oh, this might help you with this. And, like, so I'm using his entire, like, he found data on 91 galaxies or whatever, and I'm using that entirely in my model. But it's just like it feels like it's such a small world, you know. Like I have to,
yeah.
Like,
make sure you cite your sources.
Absolutely. No plagiarism here. Absolutely. But then that's the other thing is I'm gonna get published before I even graduate, so like I will be a published researcher as well, and then people that's might cite cool. my stuff. And I mean, like I'm like I better sound smart because that'd be real embarrassing if someone cites my thing and they're like, this is the most poorly written paper I've ever read.
All of our worries.
But yeah, but it feels so small and like people are like I was talking to that grad student about stuff and he was like, I'm really excited to see what you find because like, this is cool stuff. And I was like, you're excited to see what I find? Me? Little old me.
Little me?
It just feels very... I know a guy who knows a guy who maybe could know a guy.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. That's cool. Why we need people. That's why that we need people. Not just, the robots can't do all the research.
Exactly.
The robots. I don't know why I said that. I'm sorry.
Well, any other thoughts, comments, or anything that either of you wanted to share before we wrap it up today?
I just think grad school's awesome. I think, but that it doesn't have, it's not for everybody. It doesn't have to be for everybody, but what I am advocate of is lifelong learning. So go lifelong learning, go. Even you said this week, Peter Jones, you said you did 4 new surgeries or you did a new procedure 4 times.
Correct.
The new procedure, if I am allowed to ask?
Yeah, it was a Barrigel spacer placement. So I take under ultrasound guidance with an ultrasound probe up the bottom. We'll go with that one of our 4 options. We used 3 other things
Dad,
at the night when I was
Dad
talking about.
Used 4 other, there was, I'm not going to say what they were, but there were 4 different options of how to refer to that body area when he was telling us over dinner.
Well, that's not about the worst procedure. Thing we've heard about over dinner.
I'm just saying it's true. It's consistent.
No, but so we use an ultrasound probe in the rectum. We'll be medical now. Ultrasound probe in the rectum. And then under ultrasound guidance, inject first 3 gold fiducial markers into the prostate. And then in the very, very thin, like 1, you know, like 2 to maybe 3, man, more like 1 to 2 millimeter space between the rectum and the prostate, we guide a needle in there and then inject a hydrogel spacer. So we inject it and it creates space in between the prostate and the rectum so that when men are getting radiation for prostate cancer, that hydrogel spacer absorbs the majority of the radiation so that they get less radiation toxicity to the rectum.
Oh, wow. So
cool.
That was what it was. Yeah, it's like a 15-minute easy thing.
Well, it's not a big deal. What's the new thing? Cool, the point is, like, I think our brains are happy when we have new things to learn. Maybe not all new things all the time.
Sure.
but you know what I mean.
No, definitely. I mean, obviously, learning is important. I mean, that's why I have to do my 45 plus hours of CME a year. So, but, well, anything else, Aubrey? Anything you want to mention before we wrap up?
I mean, I'm just wanting to finish my undergrad, and then I can think about it.
That's fair.
I just want to get my freaking degree.
Finish the task.
Finish one thing at a time. So yeah, we're chilling. It'll be good.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening. As usual, please like, subscribe, share, give us a 5-star review, leave us a 5-star rating, leave us a review, and let other people know about Generations. And we'll be back in another month. And until then, Alyssa, thanks so much for joining us today. It was awesome to have you with us. And we'll talk again in about a month. Thanks, everybody.
See ya.
Bye.